You know who we haven't seen in a little while? Enton. See if we can't avoid any Cauchy references here, you know? Just get some political analysis, maybe some polling. It looks like this is polling to me. AP, NORC, NBC, QPAC, and Yahoo. I don't see Cauchy up there. They still paying you for this?
Let's take a look at another president, though. President Donald John Trump. Look at this. I got four numbers across for you on this screen here. They are all second-term lows for the given pollster. What are we talking about? AP, NORC, 26 points below water. NBC, 22 points below water. Yahoo, YouGov, 20 points below water. Quinnipiac, 19 points below water. So we're ranging from negative 19 points all the way to negative 26 points. You know, Kate, there's this question that folks keep asking, you know, where is the floor for Donald Trump? And I'm not sure there is a floor, because if there is one, Donald Trump, at least in term number two, has just fallen through it to another low level.
How does this compare with his first term, and how does this compare with Joe Biden?
Okay, so we look at these numbers right here. One of the things that Donald Trump had been arguing, his proponents have been arguing, oh, you know what, he's doing better than he was doing in term number one. No longer is...
Speaking of the polls, the Dems are ahead with white voters, according to this. Yes, I have heard the same thing. It's not just this Qantas poll. I've seen this from others. I don't know if I saw this from YouGov, but like very marginally, even the Caucasoids are catching on to the shift. Dude, I saw one for young white males, and it was legitimately like a 40 point swing in favor, you know? Really, 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 really bad for them. No. The right now, evidence strongly leans towards the midterms being a slaughter. I don't know if that's going to be enough to fix things, but yeah, I mean, that plus what's going on in Virginia, California, it's going to be nasty. It's a step.
Is that the case? What are we talking about here? Okay, net approval rating at this point in the term. Look at this. 22 points below water on average when you average all the pollsters from the last slide. That is actually lower. That is lower than he was at this point in term number one when he was 17 points below water. So he's doing 5 points worse, and he's doing way worse than Joe Biden was doing at this point in his term number one.
Do you think now is a good time to go on dates to trans women? What the fuck are you talking about? You only have one life. What do you mean? You waiting for the world to offer you a proposal? You have to live your life. What are you talking about? Go piss, girl.
When he was 13 points below water. So the bottom line is this. Donald Trump is setting new records for himself in term number two, setting new records for himself compared to where he was at this point in term number one. And he's
the floor dropping for Trump is huge, though, because we have long considered, and it's true, right? It's not an unfair consideration. The MAGA bloc is like a herd of unthinking animals, barely sapient, illiterate, cognitive mush, you know? The more, like, those people disapproving of Trump, it's like shaving off of his body. It's not like with the Democrats, where theoretically you can do something bad and they like you less, and then you can do something good and they like you more. Disillusionment in Trump from his own base is this larger, like, cult dynamic, like this cult deprogramming thing. You know what I mean? It's much more significant, and it represents like a much greater degree of like perceived betrayal. I think these people are supposed to be ride or die, and for the most part they are. But, you know.
Doing worse than Joe Biden, which is, of course, the comparison that Donald Trump does not want to be, because we all know what happened to Joe Biden. His party lost the House in term number one, that midterm elections. And, of course, Joe Biden was not reelected to another term. At this point, the numbers are no bueno for the president of the United States.
What's driving this that you're seeing right now?
Okay, Kate. You know what? This is the segment. We have done it over and over and over again because he keeps setting new lows for himself.
It's true. They have been putting out a new fucking Enton video on CNN like every day for several months now. It is insane the regularity with which they did not used to put him out there that much. I don't know. It's not going to give them like sequential. Yeah, no, it doesn't give them sequentially on YouTube, but it has been like multiple every week, you know? Every time it's new lows for Trump. Trump's net approval worse than Joe Biden. Political disaster. Enten breaks down ICE DHS on popularity. Proud to be an American. Enten runs the numbers. Latinos have turned against Trump in massive numbers. Trump's losing the political fight. Jeremy Powell. Enten on Trump's economy. Immigration polling. Quote, failure. A very bad omen for public. Da 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 da. On and on and on. Constantly. I mean, fuck CNN, but I'm glad if nothing else they're reveling in, like, yeah, the Trump bad messaging. I mean, hey, listen, I do it too. I'm not gonna hate.
Talking about, well, we're talking about independence. We're talking about independence. When you lose the center of the electorate, you lose the American people. Trump's net approval rating among independents, you know, at this point, you go back term number one, he was 17 points below water. Now, according to Quinnipiac, he is 27 points below water. I don't understand how this works out well for the president of the United States. When you are 27 points below water, underwater, with the center of the electorate...
Especially because independents in America typically are right of center. Like, in order to be independent in an era where Trump represents the Republican Party, you are not, like, truly center. You're like a disaffected Republican in a lot of cases. Being realistic here, you know? I'm not saying everyone has to pitch up with the Democrats or whatever, but, like, just typically that's how this goes.
Independence, you lose, your party loses. You know, I've made the comparisons before, you know, oh, he's more underwater than Greg Louganis. I've made the comparisons with all those different divers. And the bottom line is this, you can continue to make those.
Do you like Enten? Yeah, but I'm not happy about the fact that he partnered with Cauchy. So now a lot of the segments that he does, that's why I clicked on this one. I didn't see Cauchy mentioned on the front. He'll be like, well, here's what people are betting. You know, fuck that. I'm not, like, I don't know how much Cauchy paid him or paid CNN for the collaboration, but I hate that shit.
Over time, when you keep making those same comparisons, they run a little bit old. But at this point, I don't really know who to even compare Donald Trump to, because he's just so low, and he's so low with the center of the electorate.
261 days to go. Yes, the midterms may seem far off, but they are starting to dominate the dynamics here in Washington.
I love living in America. I love living in a country that never isn't engaged in a political cycle. I mean, it's good for business, I guess, on my end, but, like, sheesh. A Republican pollster has Trump down 45 points with 18 to 44-year-olds. I guess the meme magic didn't hold this time, lads. Jesus Christ, 72 to 27. Holy shit, that's fucking wild. You love to see it.
In our fresh on President Trump's mind, as the GOP now confronts a daunting political environment, Trump is taking his pitch to the nation's battlegrounds, even before U.S. troops in North Carolina, where he urged them to vote Republican.
Biden, what really matters is MAGA polling that's still in the plus 80s. Yeah, the problem with that, though, is that by definition, once you disapprove of Trump, you're no longer MAGA. So I feel like as soon as a person stops riding the Trump train, they're no longer going to self-ID as MAGA for the polling. You know what I mean? So it's kind of hard to know what the approval looks like there. It's really difficult to assess approval in a cult, because everyone's scared to talk, and as soon as they do talk, they get ousted. So
he's the worst president in the history of our country. Zero illegal aliens have been admitted into the United States, and that's done by the radical left. Michael, will you come here for a second, please? He's running for the Senate, and if he gets in, you're going to be taken care of. If he doesn't get in, we're going to be stripping the military like they always do, the Democrats. When I heard they were taking the name Fort Bragg off, I said, no, they're kidding. They're not going to do it. They did. They took the name off. We got it back very quickly, but they took it off. And if we don't win the midterms, they'll take it off again. It's another reason you have to vote for us, because they'll change it back to whatever it might be.
And this weekend, Trump also renewed his calls to place new restrictions on voting, as he started to see some fraying within his coalition.
Have the Dems ever cut the Pentagon, like, ever? Were there ever any Pentagon budget cuts during the Clinton year? There might have been when Clinton was dragging down the debt. Hold on one second. Pentagon funding each year chart. By the way, I looked back to see what popped up when I hit, you know, open new tab, TW, to open Twitter. I saw fucking, you know, it's politics links. The one at the bottom, goddamn Buck Mason article. Consistent theming. I could have planted that, you know? I still got it up. That was the two-tone Heather Oat welterweight double V sweatshirt, you know? Which, I mean, yeah, it's true. It's a good item. Pentagon budget year over year. No, it looks like it spikes sometimes and comes down afterwards. Yeah. But the overall trend has been positive, of course.
All while possible 2028 contenders, including Secretary of State Marco Rubio, flock to Europe this weekend, where they're getting some attention. Let's break this all down with my excellent panel, Tia Mitchell from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, CNN's Phil Mattingly, and Julie Davis from the New York Times. Good morning to you all. So, look, Trump is, of course, as he does, demand total unity.
I don't think there's ever been a vote that has taken funding from the Pentagon. No, it's more like there have been spikes of funding during wartime that aren't necessarily covered by the Pentagon's regular budget. Like, there's additional allocations in spending. I don't know. Listen, okay? The Pentagon has never successfully completed an audit. I don't think anyone can accurately say exactly how much they've spent or where or why.
As we head into this very daunting stretch for the GOP, his party wants them to focus on issue number one, the economy. And we've seen time and time again Trump trip on his own message or create distractions.
Defense spending as a share of GDP peaked in 2010. Yeah, but that's so. But GDP is so fake, so it's really hard to say. Like, this makes it seem like we're spending less and less in the military, but the reason the GDP is going up so much is in large part because of like fucking the economic policies that we engage in inflate GDP, but like there's less real money going around, you know? AI. Well, it goes beyond that. The AI bubble, but yeah, this chart cuts out before the AI bubble even kicks in. You know, GDP is so fake. It is very much a bell curve position where stupid people say the GDP is fake, the dollar's fake, money's fake, debt's fake, and then when you're educated, you're like, no, these are real things. And then on the far side, when you're very educated, which I'm not suggesting that I am very educated on these topics, I'm only saying that I do believe this kind of skews off. On the other side of things, you then go back to saying, like, well, these things are all fake and bullshit and gay, you know? You start Fuentes posting about the economy. In the sense that it's fake and gay, I'm not going to say what the race of the economy was.
Actions and do things that are causing significant pushback within the ranks. Just this past week, we saw the Justice Department try and fail to indict six House Democrats, a lot of Republicans.
It was a neoliberal economy.
How he's handled these ICE surges, particularly in Minneapolis in recent weeks, has caused pushback among Republicans. I'm nervous about going too far. Of course, that racist video of the Obamas that he later was forced to delete, though did not admit a mistake. Phil, how is this playing as we head into the midterms with his party?
Not great. I think.
No.
And Monty, honestly, I watch you work the halls every single week, and it's always a really good barometer of when do we hit self-preservation mode for members of Congress? And I think that as powerful as Trump's grip on the party has been, and I think we should all be very.
We're already seeing it. There have been, like, increasingly so, more and more members of Congress, Republican members of Congress, who have not been, like, hardline ideologues for Trump, you know?
Careful to pronounce some grand break or
didn't Trump go on a tirade on Truth Social recently about that? Oh, that one fucking retard, not a congressman, just a retard. The guy with the TV show, the fake liberal. Come on. Bill Maher. Yeah. Dude, if your tent is closing so much that you're gonna start alienating pieces of shit like Bill Maher. Holy shit, man. You are like the sword of Damocles is hanging low over you. Not to say that Bill Maher has ever been like a hardline MAGA guy or anything, but he was one of the big cultural figures kind of like acting as a pipeline from, you know, disaffected centrist liberal over to conservative or at least reactionary.
Diminishment of
he's like a Clintonite. Nah. Bill Maher's way worse than a Clintonite. He's a piece of shit, right wing on basically every issue. You know, he's basically like the last holdover from that obsession in the 2010s of like fake libertarian. I believe in freedom of speech, which is why I'm going to freely speak some bullshit. You know, fucking hate that guy.
of his authority over the Republican Party and over
Ryan
his
Griffin.
Members,
yeah, a little
which
bit.
Has been so kind of ironclad over the course of the last 13 months. But the moment where Republican lawmakers, particularly frontline Republican lawmakers, start looking around and say, if I need to actually win in November, I need to start creating some distance, not dramatic scale of distance that we've seen perhaps in past administrations. But I think what we've seen over the course of the last couple of weeks, but in particular this week as well, is some of those members saying there are opportunities for me to break. The repercussions of that from Trump's Truth Social posts are not in the kind of cost-benefit analysis bad enough for me to not want to risk this, and therefore I'm going to move forward. Is it a grand kind of fracturing of the party? Absolutely not.
And typically in a normal, what's normal anymore, but like, in a previous administration, the president would be like, okay, break with the
Every other president says, like, I get it. Like, this is what you have to do. Trump is not that president, and how that dynamic plays out in the coming weeks, we're going to see more of this, is going to be really, really telling.
Yeah. Right, and I think that
Is Marr implicated in the Epstein files? No, I don't think so, because if he was, I would have heard of it. That's crazy. Doesn't he seem like he would be? Doesn't he? He does seem like he would be. Like, he's got the vibe 100%.
Why it's been as limited as it's been, right? We saw that tariff vote last week. You had six Republicans. That's not anywhere close to the universe of Republicans that if they wanted to, you know, protect
not
their...
really, he doesn't like kids. Yeah, but there are people affiliated with Epstein who don't want to fuck kids. That's not the only reason people hung out with Epstein. That was just, like, a prominent one, you know?
Political flank and, you know, guarantee success in their races would have wanted to vote yes on that to cancel the Canada tariffs.
There probably would be a lot more.
There are a couple in there who are retiring. Yeah. There's, you know, one in there who's redistricted into a bad position anyway. So this is not as dramatic of a shift as we normally see at this point in the cycle, where you have a party that realizes they need to, you know, get some distance from the sitting president. But
as Masaygu's pointed out, we're probably going to start to see the departure after the primaries are done. After all of the Republicans have duked it out with each other over who's the most bestest Republican, and it's up like between them and the Democrats in every blue district across the country, all of a sudden we're gonna see a lot of hemming and hawing. And man, I really hope that goes crazy, because Trump is very insulated from what's going on outside. He only hears what people tell him. So how do you think it's going to go if a bunch of people in Congress, a bunch of people running, Republicans, all of a sudden are like, Trump? I don't fucking know that guy. ICE? Yeah, man, abolish ICE. Vote for me, the Republican candidate in one of the new Virginia districts or something. Like so many of them are going to, at least it seems the case, are going to have to, because they want to have a job after Trump falls apart. Trump is on so many levels out the door. Lame duck president, physically decaying. Like, we all see it. Everyone sees it. Every day it gets worse. I know we've all been hoping he would drop dead years ago. I know it never happens as quickly as you want it to, but like, he is decaying physically. There's no denying it. He mentally can barely hold himself together. So yeah, the extent to which a lot of these, because some of these Republican congressmen, you know, they're in their 40s, 50s. They want to be around in their 70s, 80s even. They don't want to hitch their wagon to Trump forever. They might get ousted right now. They might lose to a Democrat. They don't want that shit. I feel like there's still like 25% of the country that wouldn't vote for Republican if they disavow Trump. For sure, 100%. But there are marginal cases. And there are districts where the only hope a Republican would have would be to distance themselves from Trump. You know? Like very purple districts, or even given the way things are going right now, light red ones. Like in light red districts, there are enough people who are willing to vote for any Democrat to overturn the Republican majority, not even a majority anymore, in Congress, that even in like light, even in like Republican plus 15 or plus 20 districts, there's still going to be a lot of pressure. Florida's going to be purple. The way the special elections are playing out right now, it does feel like we're going to see like nearly a Blexit situation, or like a significant number of blue turnovers in Florida. I mean, it could potentially be like apocalyptic for them. We'll see if they do anything with that. Again, the real question, of course, is not the House. Listen, I'm just going to call this for you now. The House is Democrat. The House is going Democrat. There is no fucking way the House does not go Democrat. It might go very Democrat. The question is, can we get the 50-50 in the Senate? Probably, you know, hopefully, but can we get enough to overcome Fetterman? Right? Can we get a 51, right? Can we get a, well, yeah, we need a 51, of course, because J.D. Vance settles ties. But can we get enough, oh, can we get over J.D. Vance? Can we get over Fetterman, you know? Can we get 52? Can we get 53? I would want 54. 54 to me sounds like a solid, but that's really tough. 53, 54, that's really tough. Really, really, really tough, you know? I hate the Senate. You should. It should be abolished. 2026 Senate map. Unfortunately, it's just not a good year for the Senate. It's just not. It's mostly Republicans who are up for it again. But, okay, if we assume that the four swings go to Democrats, that's still 49-51. You have such a dysfunctional political system. I'm aware. Thank you. Yeah. If we would need, sorry, I want it to be light blue for, nope, I keep overclicking. Yeah. I want it to be light blue. It feels better that way. I keep overclicking. I keep thinking there's one more blue. Even here, we would need more than we're getting. What do you think? I mean, between Ohio and Alaska, What do you think the odds are? Give another blue in Texas for Tallarico. We don't know that. Would Tallarico, for one, we don't even know Tallarico is going to beat Crockett. Crockett has no chance at winning the general. Tallarico might. In Ohio, the GOP candidate's doing terribly. Sherrod Brown is killing them. The GOP guys in the Epstein files. Republicans love pedophilia. I don't know. Maybe we get this. Alaska probably blue. Maybe Vivek is killing the Republicans in Ohio as well. Yeah, we can only hope. I don't know about Alaska. I feel like Texas has a better if Tallarico wins, I think Texas has a better shot than Alaska, but even then it's marginal. And we're still hoping for every swing state. Yeah, I don't know. And keep in mind, right? Even then, you know, you've got Fetterman. Yes, if Tallarico goes up against Paxton, I put it on Tallarico. Marginally, because it's still Texas, but still, yeah. Blue Kentucky? Oh, yeah, I'm sure. For sure, yeah, 100%. It's just a bad Senate year for us, guys. I'm sorry. I mean, Jesus, look at all the just look at the area of the country that's getting New England, a couple, sure, but, you know, you're getting the entire southern Midwest strip right here. It's just a bad, you know, it's just a bad Senate cycle. Senate's just a stupid-ass idea. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or the most likely method of the GOP used to try to steal the midterm election? I don't think they can. I just, like, it's arrogant of me to say maybe. I don't want to get, like, cucked later on. I don't want to jinx it. I don't think they can. Look, the midterms are going to be a slaughter in the House no matter what. I think we would be lucky even to get a 50-50 in the Senate. So let's just, I don't know. Let's see what we see, okay? The House is looking very, very, very good. We need to be optimistic about that. Nebraska will probably be Dan Osborne. Well, that would be nice. Here's the House model from Axios. Does this factor in the Virginia, the lobster shift? No, it doesn't. Okay. Yeah, current map with redistricting. And if you assume like a... So right now, based on the special elections that we've been seeing, a Democrat plus 15 shift is really not that impossible. Like, as crazy as that sounds, it's a lot. The shift is going to be a lot. But even if we shift it to plus 10, that's, yeah, up 33 seats in the House. I mean, if we took it all the way over, ridiculous, like a plus 100 margin. We'll see. What are your thoughts on the direct election of senators versus state legislators? I just don't think senators should be a thing. I think it's insane and reaction. I think it's fucking retarded that California and New York both contribute 4 senators while producing all of the economy, culture, people, worth, value, and love in the country. But meanwhile, like a coalition of like 20 inbred states that combined have less population than California and New York get to overwhelm them in the Senate. I think it's absolutely insane. Psychotic. In every single other Western country, the upper legislature can only delay bills, not block like the USA. We do just have a fucking idiotic system. And it's a holdover from the Federalist. Initial intentions of the United States where states would operate like more or less independent economic blocks, opposed to today, where we operate cohesively like a well-functioning union of states. The founding fathers could never have imagined the degree of collaboration between states that's possible today. And modern economies basically demand that level of collaboration. So there's no way to do anything about it. Yeah, anyway. Yes. So why not the House as well? Because the House is proportionally representative. The House represents, not perfectly, but like the House represents more or less a proportional number of people, you know? I would be in favor of making the House larger to like have every House member represent approximately a 500,000 or whatever, but you know, I'm fine with uncapping it or raising the cap, but the Senate is just stupid. The Senate just should not be a thing. Why is Kentucky like that? Nobody knows why Kentucky is like that. They should split California into two states for more Senate votes. It's insane. You could split California into 80 states and each of them would have more population than Montana. You could get 160 senators out of the partitioned California. Like it's so stupid. Not true, actually. Montana's 1 point. Oh wait, which is the state that has less? I thought Montana was less. Lowest pop state. Wyoming? Okay, Wyoming is a 500,000. So you could split California into 80, then okay, I was thinking Wyoming. Wyoming, Montana, they touch tips. What do you want? Why is Wyoming allowed to be a state? You're right, it should be annexed by Colorado. Force them to be a blue state. The midterms are going to be a slaughter, all caps. It's true.